So in this most family-oriented of holiday weeks, the grocery lists and menus and potluck gridlock of comfort foods get all the attention, right? But the food on the plate is probably less important than the faces at that Thanksgiving table. When you know who you are cooking for, it changes the what in the kitchen. And when the who is family, a feast becomes something more than a meal. And no one knows this better than our next guest. James Beard Award-winning chef John Besh has run Top Chef restaurants. He's put food on the table for disaster victims and cooked for his own family. The last challenge might just be the toughest and most satisfying of all. Besh is the author of My Family Table, a passionate plea for home cooking, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Hello, John. How are you?
It's great to talk to you. This is a beautiful cookbook, but it really begins with a beautiful and even more beautiful, I think, sentiment that some of the foodie trends we know and see on reality television may have gotten into the way of the real, gotten in the way of some of the real meanings of cooking at home. Give me your plea for home cooking.
My passionate plea for
yes.
home cooking. Well, you know, it's interesting. Yes, a good portion of this, you know, but a third of this book, you could say, would be my mea culpa for doing just that, kind of adding to the problem that kind of plagues America, where we're much more food conscious today than ever, but we're cooking a lot less for ourselves than ever. And as I travel and work from, you know, schools in the suburbs that are seemingly well-to-do areas, to inner city schools that where youth are troubled, universally, what lifts its head is that we are getting farther and farther away from the source of our food, the understanding of where our food comes from, and not only that, we're not eating at that family table any longer. And just thinking about my life growing up in South Louisiana, you know, so many of those great lessons that I learned, life lessons, took place at the family table. And my worry is that the further we get away from it, the more perilous, you know, we as a society become. And so this is why, you know, it's the book is called My Passionate Plea for Home Cooking, because I think a lot of people feel that they, you know, we're so busy today and that we don't have time to cook. And so I'm taking a couple decades of experience of as a professional chef and applied it to the home cook, to the way that I had to go about learning to cook in my own house.
Well, I want to talk about some of those tips in just a moment, but you've also looked into the eyes of some faces of people who've been away from that family table for quite a long time. What is it like for you to serve disaster victims as you've done, and you're a former Marine at that military table where people are so far from home?
Well, I think it really goes back to being raised with a sense of stewardship, using whatever talents and abilities that we have to make the world a better place. And just following Hurricane Katrina, I think we all saw the seemingly insurmountable problem and the chaos ensued just after the storm in New Orleans. And I think most of us asked ourselves, what can we do about this? And I had the resources, and we were able to marshal enough resources to make a difference, you know, in a small way, feeding thousands of people. And I think that it's something that's just expected of us. But that was a turning point in my life where if you can serve somebody that's truly hungry, truly in need, you think about things just a little different as far as food goes. And that was a huge turning point because up until that point, I cooked to win awards. And I cooked so I could have plaques on the walls and lavish dinners in my restaurant. And Katrina changed that as well. All of a sudden, the restaurant was then called upon to become a cornerstone in the community, a meeting house, a meeting place. Food took a different turn where it wasn't lauded, but it was the breaking of the bread that meant everything. People getting together at that table became an act of defiance. And I think that was very moving, and I think it will forever shape the way that I think about food and cook for people.
You know, I got to ask you, since we're talking about the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday and you have your passionate plea, as you say, to cook at home, how do you avoid some of the arguments that develop from cooking at home. The mom feeling like it's all put upon her to cook the entire thing. Arguing over who gets to choose what kind of starch we have. One kid doesn't like mashed potatoes, and then who's going to do the cleanup?
Right. Well, and I think a lot of times, you know, the days of mom staying at home and just preparing everything and cleaning up after all the children, this is long gone by. We need to, as families, get together and decide, you know, all right, you do this, you do that. And I think that you see a lot more people around Thanksgiving eating in that potluck style.
Well, it's great because you actually – there are pictures in this book of you cooking with your boys and different family members get different jobs. Explain your strategy for cooking on a school night.
Well, school night cooking is different. I'm never there. I'm really not. I'm at the restaurants and so school nights, I have to – it starts with that Sunday supper. We find that – if we can only cook, sit down and eat one big meal together as a family, Sunday's the day that it more likely happens than any other. And so if I'm heating up the oven, I'll throw in, you know, if I'm roasting a chicken, let's say, I'll roast two. Or if I'm roasting a pork shoulder, you know, the Boston butt, then I'll throw in a chicken or I'll put in another roast. Just so I'll have extra food for later in the week for Jennifer. So I'll prepare some of these things, and from that, we'll parlay several things from that Sunday supper into meals during the week. For instance, we love roasted cauliflower in our house. I have one little boy just eats it just as fast as I can cook it. One won't eat vegetables, and so for Luke, I decided we'll take that leftover cauliflower, I'll mix it with some pasta, we'll create a cauliflower mac and cheese.
Brilliant.
He'll never know he's eating the vegetables. And
that actually works?
I always have, you know, some black-eyed peas or some form of field pea, whether it's Crowder peas, purple hull peas. I'll always have some of those left over. And I always have some greens left over, some stewed greens, mustard greens, turnip greens, you know, something of that vein. Well, what I've decided to do then is I'll create little sausage meatballs, and I'll add the greens and the black-eyed peas in a good rich chicken broth. And these are all things that are really left over from the table. And then what we have is our version of the Italian wedding soup. And so I'll compose meals for the school nights, using what I have left over from some of the other, you know, from that epic Sunday supper.
Well, those strategies are all laid out in My Family Table. It's John Besh's passionate plea for home cooking. What are you doing for Thanksgiving, John?
Well, we'll probably have about 40 people over to my house, my siblings and my in-laws and my and all of my wife's siblings will come over with their children, and so it adds up very quick. And so I'm responsible for all the for a lot of the sides, like the we call them dressings. I think in your neck of the woods they're called stuffing.
That's right.
So we'll make an oyster dressing, then I'll do a crawfish andouille dressing, and then we'll have a good dirty rice dressing as well.
Well, so, I'll hop on a plane and head down there. It's in New Orleans, right?
That's right. Just come on. We'll have an extra seat for both you and Celeste. John.
All right. John Besh, James Beard, award-winning chef and author of My Family Table, A Passionate Plea for Home Cooking. Happy Thanksgiving.
And we're wondering how you break with tradition on Thanksgiving. Lane in Indonesia writes, we're expatriate Americans, but we always celebrate Thanksgiving. Difficult to get a turkey, so we roast a goat. But pumpkin pie is always on offer. Tell us about your break with Thanksgiving traditions at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.